gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's Election Day, everybody. Happy Election Day. Here's our Election Day muse. All right, that's close enough.
We don't have elections here in California today, so
no.
It's like
that. There's Election Day somewhere.
Yes.
I'm trying to recapture the excitement and spirit of the last election. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the Election Day party. Okay, StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out.
There are some important races going on across
there
the country.
There are indeed.
Yes.
You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. In fact, there's a Scott's a Fabulous race going on in New York.
Yes.
Where the Republican Party is imploding. The regular Republican dropped out of the race in favor of the right-wing Glenn Beck nutcake candidate.
Yes.
But the regular Republican endorsed the Democrat in the race. I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be a close one, but they're saying that her support, her followers could throw the race to the Democrat. Part two of... I don't know.
Holding my breath for that.
It's a very Republican
seat.
There was literally no chance the Democrat was going
right.
to win, but now there might be. Once again, that's
kind of
fabulous.
So this is a congressional race in New York. The real Republican dropped
out. Goes a papa.
Could be because her name is...
Gigi goes a papa.
Scores up what?
The real Republican dropped out of the race and endorsed the Democrat.
Scores up
fabulous.
Scores up papa. Scores up papa.
I strongly believe Bill Owens is the only candidate who can build upon John McHugh's lasting legacy in Congress. Please join me in voting for Bill Owens on Tuesday.
Scores up
fabulous
is my middle name.
Thank you, Shane. Scores up fabulous. I had a scuzz of Fazo once. A little cream, and it cleared right up. It was like magic.
Are you making fun of her name?
Yes. And the Republican Party as well.
Okay.
All right. So we'll see. Lots of, we'll get to the elections around the country today. Lots of stuff. However, the Republican Party, did I mention, is imploding. This guy, the right wing, he said Glenn Beck is his mentor. That's the guy now that's running for the conservative.
In the Scores of Fava?
In the Scores of Fava race.
Wow. Glenn Beck is, wow.
Yes, the crazy religious right has recaptured the party. You know, my dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater, who was pro-choice and pro-gay rights, he warned of the undue influence of the religious right on the Republican Party back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Speaking of which, this guy's going to run as a Republican somewhere in Lexington, Kentucky. Police say a man who smashed a window at a car dealership claimed he was following a higher calling. The man told the guard there that God wanted him to steal a Dodge Charger.
Oh.
The kid says nah.
I don't think so. I think God would prefer a Fiero, perhaps. I don't
if they still
I don't think
make
God
Fieros.
Would tell anyone to steal a Dodge Charger.
Actually, the new Dodge Chargers,
ridiculous.
They're sweet cars. Oh.
I apologize if maybe God does want you to steal a Dodge Charger.
I wouldn't mind
right.
a Dodge Charger.
All right. Let's get to a little bit of celebrity stack. Lots of election news, healthcare news, and much more to get to. Delisted.com reporting Mel Gibson is a father again. Oh, God. Is that nine or how many is that now?
18.
He's he's a very far right, religious right guy, Catholic guy, you know, family values sort of guy. He left the wife with the previous eight children, however many, it's the Russian waitress that...
And he's a he's a Catholic, and Catholics aren't allowed to divorce.
Yep.
Huh.
The delisted.com writes, the pharmaceutical companies better start working overtime to stock up on painkillers and antidepressants, because I have a feeling Mel Gibson's new daughter is going to need most of their stock in a few years to deal with being, well, Mel Gibson's daughter. Mel's girlfriend, Oksana Grigorieva. Oh. Gave birth to a daughter on Friday. A source added Mel's new daughter is healthy and already at home. Yeah, already at home trying to make an escape rope out of her bed sheets and bibs, according to delisted.com. I don't know if there's any confirmation that she's already trying to escape. Delisted writes, we don't have a name yet, but I'm guessing Mel wants to go with Jacqueline Daniels Sugar Jesus Gibson, which is a little long
for a toddler. It's a little, gangly.
It's clunky.
Yeah.
Eight is definitely this. Oh, this is his eighth. Eight is definitely enough for Mel. Seriously, I think a neuter Mel Gibson measure should be on the ballot in California tomorrow. Vote yes. I agree, delisted.
Let's gather signatures.
Throw in Octomom, John Gosselin, perhaps. Oh, this is very sad news. John Gosselin and his the woman that he was banging behind his wife's back with the other. It's a very Mel Gibson-ish story. They have now split up.
Oh.
Haley Glassman. They need to take some time right now and focus on each of our individual lives.
Okay.
Don't you love that breakup line? I need to focus on a life that does not include, for instance, you. More of my individual needs, which individually do not include you, for instance.
Oh.
In a statement released over the weekend in response to Haley's recent remark that John has mantrums.
Mantrums?
I know men that have mantrums. It is important for me to go back to Pennsylvania and be with my children. Oh, now it's important. See, now he's going back to the family values. Once you're done banging the much younger girlfriend, now it's time to go back and spend time with you because he's thinking of the children. And try to decide what I...
somebody please think of the children!
John Gosselin went on to say, I think I'm just misunderstood. I'm not a fame seeker.
Says no.
That's why you get a reality show, is when you really don't want to draw attention to yourself in any way.
And that's why you would appear at millions of milkshakes in West Hollywood when they name a milkshake after you. No, you're not seeking fame at all.
He's misunderstood. As many deeply irritating people are. Okay.
He's not nearly as irritating as his wife, though, seriously.
So, gay marriage on the ballot today in Maine, perhaps us in California, we can try again, at least so that Ewan McGregor can be with a goat. He apparently has a magical connection with a goat who starred in his latest movie with him. He worked alongside the animal in an upcoming film, Men Who Stare Goats. And admits that he came very close. I don't need to know any more than that. All right. Delisted.com recording that soy milk was given Jeremy Piven boobs. Which is...
Well, soy milk does cause, estrogen. It releases estrogen.
Yes, this is new breaking news from D-Listed. Jeremy already claims that eating too many sea kittens gave him mercury poisoning. Now he's saying that drinking massive amounts of soy milk has given him a pair of luscious moobs. Said, I was the guy who dabbled in soy milk, but now I found that soy milk has enough estrogen for me to grow breasts. I had to put the soy milk down. It's a very confusing time. Okay.
Why was he guzzling soy milk?
I don't...
It doesn't say?
Celebrity kick.
Okay.
All right. Oh boy, Jay Leno. He's doing a little rabble rising in the late night wars once again. He says he would rather have stayed put at the Tonight Show, and if NBC offered him that job back, he'd take it.
How does Conan feel about that?
I'm guessing not probably. Probably not great. Leno hastily added, "Such a decision isn't his to make." Conan, he said, is, quote, doing fine. Conan is in the same position I was when I took over. It takes a while. Some will like it. Some will leave forever and not come back. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
That's another late-night man fight in the brewing, I'm guessing.
I mean, what happened when you had the late-night show? Did you do it and then leave and never come back?
Oh, many of the viewers actually that watched my show never watched television ever again. They were so traumatized. Yes, they left, and they left television entirely.
Oh, God.
All right. And finally, in the entertainment stack, what is more entertaining than Oily Tate? Nothing.
No.
In my personal opinion. Oily Tate's the birther leader, the, what is she? Russian dentist, attorney, gynecologist? Something.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Okay. So the SmackDown ruling that she got in the last week's in California.
Yeah.
It is worth highlighting. The judge in the case suggested that she may have suborned perjury.
Oh.
Which is quite serious.
That's illegal.
Can involve in prison at some point. The ruling said the court has received several sworn affidavits that Tate's as potential witnesses that she planned to call before this court to perjure themselves. This court is deeply concerned that Tate's may have suborned perjury through witnesses she intended to bring before the court. This I love. Okay, so if you read the papers, as Mama does, particularly like the Globe.
Oh, they're the best.
There's a guy named Larry Sinclair that even the Globe doesn't really take very seriously.
Oh, no.
He's a crazy anti-Obama activist. I think he's the guy that said he did coke and had sex with Obama. It's that, you know, that guy.
That guy. Okay.
Yeah. My God.
That guy that's even a little bit crazier than Orly Tate.
Yeah.
So check this out. Here are the fun facts. In the affidavit, so Larry Sinclair wasn't even going along with Orly Tate's is crazy. Larry Sinclair recounts that being ushered into Tate's office and being told to, quote, testify that three members of Obama Church were murder. That's kind of harassing, I think. Yeah, you tell! You murder! Three member murder! Sinclair claims to have recoiled at this. He's like, what? You went to say, I mean, I'll say I did coke and I slept with him, but I'm not what?
But I'm not crazy.
What? Sinclair claims to have recoiled, at which point Tate's encouraged him to say it anyway. Let him finish!
Say it anyway!
I love when they actually quote Orly Tate's because they actually write it the way she talks.
They leave out the pearls?
Yeah, here, let me. You testifying that three members of Obama's church were murdered to help me establish that expedited delivery is necessary because people wind up dead over Obama.
Huh? Huh?
At which point Larry Sinclair obviously said, bitch is crazy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'll make up a bunch of other, but I can't, what? I think we have more from Orly here.
The court in the case of Orly Tates versus Humanity will come to order. Miss Tates, I believe you may have suborned perjury.
You have shoehorn porridgery. I am only telling one person, Larry Sinclair, who is very credibility witness. He has...
Miss Tates, I've heard about enough from you.
Let me finish. He is very credibility witness. He personally saw Kenyon Obama in back of limo giving blowjob to male hooker.
You are done, Miss Tate.
You will be done. Let me finish. I am only telling Sinclair he testifying that three members of Obama Muslim church were murdered because they know Obama gay space alien from planet Kenya.
Miss Tate, I'm going to have to shoot you now.
Let me finish.
You are finished. What a senseless waste of perfectly good skin.
JimDashWard.com is the website. Speaking of entertainment, Bob in Orange County called Lieberman's office. Hello, Bob.
Hello, it's Rob.
Oh, Rob, pardon me. Go ahead.
I feel like I know you, and then you, like, don't know me. But
pardon me, I yelled out the wrong name again when I was with you.
That's great, you know. I feel just a little bit.
Sorry,
I wanted to say hi to you guys and say how funny you are.
Thank you.
You're amazing. And I called Joe Lieberman's office.
Did you talk to Zach?
Well, at first, it was, I don't know, it seemed like a really nice guy. He was totally willing to listen to everything I had to say.
I think that's Zach.
I think it's Zach.
And he was really cool.
He gets a little testy when you tell him he's on national radio, but other than that, he seems perfectly nice.
No, he was really cool. I'm not going to, like, you know, just start prejudging who he was and what he was and that kind of thing. But
right.
he did say that Joe, you know, is against health care, that he's going to fight. And I said, well, he's not going to actually get up there and filibuster. You got to be kidding me. He's a little bit older. You know, he's probably going to pass out if he tries to, you know, go for the 48-hour. But then he admitted that.
With having no spine of any kind, how will he even stand upright for that long? Yeah.
Right. And so he did admit that the article that's out, you know, is basically saying that Joe is, you know, behind the scenes admitting that he won't completely fight it, you know. But he will vote, you know, no on, you know, talking about it or whatever.
So he's just being a self-centered weenie at present. He's not really going to do anything.
Well, he's going to vote no on the whole talking the cloture thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the reality is, I said, well, that his vote doesn't matter. And what the guy listened to me for about 10 minutes, Steph. And
wow.
And the reason why is I tried to convince him that right now, like on our side, even if it's just a little smidgen to the left of the middle, we laugh at him. You know, there's no respect left for Joe Lieberman.
Rob, somebody was bringing up yesterday, the thing that starts to annoy me even more is the so-called liberal media. What was it with Bob Schieffer? He was on this weekend. It's like, what?
Right.
Do any, you know, if you're getting better journalism in progressive radio, or at least we're playing the clips of when he was running against Ned Lamont and promising Connecticut universal health care and a public option and yada yada. I mean, it's just, or go back and play his comments about how against the filibuster he is, and, you know, he worked.
Well, that's the fun. funny part of the liberal media, you know, that it's very much elite. And the fact that you get a call, it's pretty cool, right? You know, like it's probably the fact that because your father and, you know, you're funny and you're amazing. But then the fact that you're in that, you know what I mean? Like, I love that music.
I'm sorry. You were saying nice things about me and I totally lost track. All right. Goodbye, Bob. Rob. Bob, I yelled out the wrong name again.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Even when he said I was pretty and funny. Okay, 21.
That's the biggest turn off for you, isn't it?
Bob! Oh, I'm sorry.
Telling you you're funny?
21 minutes. All right, we'll tell you what's up. The latest with the healthcare. Also, Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania coming up in just a couple of minutes. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. Representative Allison Schwartz of Pennsylvania coming up. Charlie Pierce, humorist extraordinaire, author of Idiot America, coming up next hour. And then Representative Bruce Braley of Iowa, we will check in on where we be at with health care.
There seems to be an issue with...
Don't even get me started.
With abortion.
Oh.
And Dems. Dems are split on abortion and
I hate everyone. Today's one of my I hate everybody days. While the House leaders are moving toward a vote on health care legislation by the end of the week, enough Democrats are threatening to oppose the measure over the issue of abortion to create a question about its passage. It's actually specifically written in there that the funds can't be used for abortion. However,
also, the Hyde Amendment forbids federal funds from being used to pay for abortions. End of story.
So this is more of the conservative type, blue dog type Dems that are gumming up the works. Like, we don't have Lieberman for that.
Well, that's on the Senate side. This
yes,
is the House
I
side.
Know. I understand.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about people that are supposed to be Democrats or whatever. Okay. Valerie Jarrett, senior White House advisor.
Lots of different analysis of the plans, and until we have a final bill, let's hold off prejudging what it's going to do. But the president has been very clear. He does not want to impose a tax on the middle class.
Yeah, by the by, story today that the president has been a lot more involved behind the scenes than we know about. But we still have people like Virginia Fox to deal with.
Oh, God.
She's, she has looks going for her. I'll say that. She's a looker. She has previously said that Democratic health reform means seniors will be put to death by their government. She has said there are no Americans who don't have health care. Why is she allowed to even speak?
I don't know.
On the floor of the House. She was at it again, arguing that health care reform is a greater threat to our country than, quote, any terrorist right now in the country, in any country. Oh, not just in this country, in any country. Actually, reforming health care, bigger threat than any terrorist in any country.
Can you believe that?
We have that crunchy audio goodness, and we'll get Allison Schwartz, Representative Schwartz's reaction to that and much more. Just so when you think there is no new low in the healthcare debate, yeah, there is.
Computer says, yes.
Yeah, there is. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's preposterous what you're saying. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Mm-hmm. 33 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show recognizes the Republican Congresswoman from North Carolina, Virginia Fox.
I believe that the greatest fear that we all should have to our freedom comes from this room. This very room, and what may happen later this week in terms of a tax increase bill masquerading as a health care bill. I believe we have more to fear from the potential of that bill passing than we do from any terrorist right now in any country.
That is so ridiculous.
Hyperbole, Munch. If only we had a lawmaker in control of the senses that could react to that. Congresswoman Alison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning.
How do you react to that when you're on the floor of the House exactly?
Well, you have to say it is. First of all, that language is so, you know, out of the range of acceptable, you know, I mean, in so many ways, it's hard to know whether you should even react at all. I mean, the fact that we're actually finding a way, finally, after decades and decades of conversations about this, you know, to, in a very mixed private public system, as you know, to help all Americans be able to have access to health insurance, to in any way sort of suggest that threatens this country rather than strengthens this country is, I'm not trying to just keep a reasoned tone is all I can say. It's really, which isn't always easy, but
I have to ask,
that's the best way to do that.
When either Representative Fox or Representative Bachman get up, do you do a preemptive eye roll just in anticipating what they may say?
I try and keep my, sort of a gracious demeanor if I can, you know, I think that's the right thing to do, you know, so.
But
same class with Virginia Fox, but
right.
I don't think, in a very serious way, I don't think that that this is helping to advance a serious debate.
Well, that's exactly
it. And that's the shame of this, you know, because in fact there are Republicans who truly disagree that we should intervene at all. You know, they believe ideologically that people should be on their own. You can buy health insurance or you can't. So be it. You know, I mean, that there shouldn't be consumer protections or rules of the game. Well, I don't agree with that, but, you know, that is a political,
right.
ideology.
But the point is, I mean, you know, you can joke, Congresswoman, but I mean, really, when you I just don't understand how you guys do this kind of, you know, do legislation with them day to day. They're just offering, you're not offering anything real in the argument. It's just fear-mongering that's so, I mean, it's hard to tell the difference between some of these, you know, talk show hosts like a Glenn Beck and a Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, these are actually lawmakers that are supposed to be debating the issues, aren't they?
Well, they are, and of course that isn't creating that kind of debate. Now, of course, they believe strongly in how they believe, and they got elected by their constituents. So, I guess that it is a concern, though, when they don't really engage in sort of serious debate. But there really isn't a very easy middle ground when you're having that kind of debate on the floor of Congress. It's not. And of course, what they're doing is mostly saying that, and during the times on the floor when they can say whatever they like, unrelated to anything. But it does actually raise the rhetoric and really reduce the opportunity for serious debate about the issues.
Congresswoman Schwartz, unfortunately, the latest story today is that we have some trouble on the Democratic side once again with health care. You have to explain this to me because maybe I'm misunderstanding. So you guys are obviously moving to vote by the end of the week, correct?
Correct.
And we have Democrats now threatening to oppose the measure over the issue of abortion. The president of Pro-Choice America said, Bart Stupak, who's the conservative Democrat behind this, said it's attempting to ban abortion coverage in the private insurance market. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but isn't it specifically written in the bill these funds can't be used for an abortion? Doesn't the Hyde Amendment cover that?
Well, it does, but there's certainly still negotiations going on a bit about this, but there is a difference within our caucus. What the effort here is, we actually don't have specifically the Hyde Amendment language, which would, and this is what they're trying to do, is to prohibit the coverage of, prohibit anyone from using a federal funding for a subsidy, even a partial, these are all partial subsidies, to buy a plan that might include abortion coverage, that they would not be allowed to that plan could not, even with your own private dollars, be able to buy abortion coverage. So it is going further than than many of us are comfortable with, although we have already said and agree that public dollars will not be used
right.
to pay for abortion.
I mean, that's what I don't understand. Is it, last I checked, abortion is legal, regardless of anybody's feelings on it. And if you want to get private insurance that covers it, you can, right? I mean, that's what I'm a little confused.
Well, that's what we're trying to say. But what they're saying is that when you take a federal subsidy, even if it's a 20% subsidy, a 40% subsidy, 80% subsidy, there are no 100% subsidies.
Right.
So
there
is private funding. They're basically saying, look, how do you really create that firewall? You know, we're saying you can, and insurance companies can. So that's where we are. I certainly, we're trying not to create new law here, to make abortion more restricted. And, of course, there are some people who would like to see that happen. So
you're
right. It's a conversation we're having. within the Democratic, on the Democratic side. And I certainly hope we will work this out. I expect we will find a way forward, because what we're doing here is, again, trying not to create new law around abortion and abortion coverage. And we try to move forward on a broader health care reform.
Because, I mean, it seems, you know, and I know Steny Hoyer said, you know, they're making progress, but we haven't reached an agreement yet. I mean, so you really are confident, because I swear it seems like every time we get right there, I'm like, oh, God, we are not going to snatch, defeat from the jaws of victory again on health care.
Yeah, we just can't. We have to move forward. We've been working on this for so long. This is a very, very good bill. And while it is complicated and it is long, it actually deals with what is a very complicated subject in a very fair way, and in some ways a very moderate way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move forward. We're going to work this out.
You know, that's the problem is, you know, you just, like, every time you think we're almost to the goal line, a Joe Lieberman pops up, and, you know, you saw this weekend, he literally went on record as saying a plan with a public option, no plan at all would be better. Nothing at all on health care reform would be better than a public option. I feel like I'm in a parallel universe, Congresswoman. It's like 70% nearly of the people in Connecticut want a public option.
And certainly the representatives from Connecticut here in Congress, not, you know, most of them actually, and they are the capital of insurance, you know. I mean, insurance companies are headquartered, many of them are headquartered in Connecticut.
Yeah, Chris Dodd gets money from insurance companies as well.
And again, we are, the private insurance company is going to be major players and very important in complying with these new consumer protections, the new rules around insurance. We're creating a new market for them in terms of, private, those 30, 40, almost 50 million Americans who will be able to buy insurance. This is a joint venture with them. But I certainly, as you know, don't see the public option as anything more than, but importantly, an option for Americans to make sure that we do have affordable options for them as they purchase insurance.
Well, and didn't the CBO just say they are estimating 2% of the American people are going to actually participate in it? So it's not exactly Sean Hannity call it yesterday, a giant funnel that will suck every American into it and destroy the private health insurance industry.
No one expects that to happen, except, of course, the cable chatter. No one really expects that to happen. But if we're going to require all Americans to have insurance, we certainly want to make sure that there's an option for them that is affordable, that's always going to be there, that won't walk away from the market, and there's no other way of our assuring that.
You know, Congressman, your colleague, Congressman Waxman, yesterday said the president has been very personally engaged in this one. He's making phone calls, meeting with members, spending more time with the Senate than the House because they have more problems. Because I know there's been some criticism of that. I mean, from your point of view, has he been engaged in this?
Oh, the White House has been very engaged in this. You know, the president has made it absolutely clear that he's not going to be the one that's going to say it better be written exactly this way or I'm not for it. And that's perfectly sound policy, you know, or strategy on his part. But clearly the White House has been involved in this. This is very important to the president and the White House to get this done and to get this done well. And he has certainly been, you know, his team has been very engaged, certainly particularly with the Senate where there's some real challenges.
All right, Congressman, I want that bill on my desk by Friday. Is that all right?
We are going to get it done in the House. Of course, we're going to have to get the Senate to do it. But I believe we're going to meet the president's goal, which is to get a bill to the president's desk that he's going to be happy with, that he can sign by the end of the year. We're going to make that happen.
All right.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Congresswoman Allison Schwartz from Pennsylvania.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. There she goes. It's a commonwealth, you know.
It is a commonwealth. There are four commonwealths in the United States.
That's what I do. I'm the Glenn Beck of the left, I've decided. I demand things. I want that on my desk now.
You're going to need a blackboard.
Whatever.
And a lot more crazy.
Yeah.
42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, baby.
Another case of, you know, Republicans eating their own with Ms. Dede Farber.
who I think would be a great, actually great national candidate. And I think you as VP would be wonderful.
Wait, who are we talking about? Didi who?
Scozafava,
yeah.
Scozafava. You know, I'm just looking at this. I'm getting all confused. I'm sorry. I'm like on voter overload here right now with the elections going on.
Right.
I just look at her, and I think she would be one of the best candidates out there for...
Well, I mean, she's more moderate,
right,
like most of America is. You know, that's why there's only 20% of Americans that are saying they're Republican, because Republicans have become this crazy Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, you know, crazy.
Well, exactly, and if you look at this, is just proof that they're running the campaign, or that they are now the leaders of the Republican Party, because they sat there, they endorsed her. She had a dropout. You had the president of the National Governors or National Republican Governors Association say that, no, we need someone like that up there because we need a moderate in New England. And she's much more moderate. I would actually consider her a Democrat in a lot of sense, but she's more fiscal. She doesn't like to spend a lot of money. She supported stimulus. I mean,
well, the point is, that's what I'm saying. She's more moderate. Like, you know, the bulk of Americans probably are, but there's no room in the Republican Party for...
There is no more room. Yeah. I mean, if you look at how the Republican Party's going, which I now call the conservative party...
Well, you know,
there's nothing left for them. Yeah. They're not going to have anything but themselves. How can they ever expect to get anywhere anymore? Which, who cares?
Well, Tim, I keep making the point because I do feel like I have a kind of a personal connection to it, and then my dad was a Republican congressman from New York, and he ran with Goldwater. And you remember at that time in '64, they were running way to the right with Goldwater and my dad, you know. My point is, there's no room for the Republican Party today for them. Barry Goldwater is pro-choice and pro-gay rights.
I know, and I've read Barry Goldwater's book. I've seen the documentary on him and on your dad, and I'm completely amazed at how they were considered the far right in their day, and now they would consider a complete progressive liberal.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's my point.
Away.
Yeah, that's my point, is how can you, you have a historical context to really look at this. It's not like, you know, I'm the only person saying this. A lot of people
you're not just blowing it out of your rear end here.
I am.
I mean, I can't believe that things like this happen in this country where someone who can't even get... When you have a group of people like this who will stop at anything just because they disagree with everything about them, and even though it's in their best interest.
But Tim, the problem, you know, as a Democrat, I kind of go, oh, well, this is good. But it's not good for the country. The problem is they really are. They are just becoming a smaller and smaller and crazier base, which is good for comedy, bad for America.
Yes, it is. Yes. Thank you, Stephanie.
All right,
but if their base is getting smaller and smaller, I think that's good. Because people on the left and moderates can drown them out.
Right. Some people actually believe in a two-party system. I know, it's crazy. I know. And they're half a party now.
But if the Republicans split, that's good for the the one big party that's left.
The stories on Election Day today, it's not so good. For Republicans, an election win of any size today would be a blessing, but victories in Virginia, Jersey, or elsewhere won't erase enormous obstacles the party faces in a 2010 midterm election. They seem to be getting very cocky already, don't they?
Yes, they are.
2010. Even if political winds start blowing harder behind them, and even if they capitalize on Democratic missteps, Republicans still have a long way to go over the next year because of their party's own fundamental problems, divisions over the path forward, the lack of a national leader, and a shrinking base in a changing nation. They seem to find a new way to alienate a new group almost every day.
Yeah.
The GOP would overcome none of those hurdles should Republican Bob McDonnell win the Virginia governor's race, Chris Christie emerge victorious in Jersey, or conservative Doug Hoffman triumph in a hotly contested race in upstate New York. In fact, 2009 seems to have underscored what may be the biggest impediment for Republicans, the war within their own base. It's the Boner... John Boner said, it's going to be a difficult road to walk. To work with relatively new entrants in the political system and to work with them to show them that, by and large, we're the party who represents their interests. Well, you know what would help that is if they actually were the party that represented anybody's interests. That would actually help. Rush Limbaugh, I love this, said, right now there's no central Republican leader to turn to. Yeah, that's because it's you with your drug-addled gas bag.
Either him or Glenn Beck.
And there's no central Republican message. The Republican message is sort of muddied. What do they stand for? Right now, it's opposition to Obama. Yes.
That's yes.
That's what we've been saying. Led by you. You moron. Yes, they're following you. All they are is against Obama. They want Obama to fail.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, they want America to fail.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, as you just pointed out, either Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck, the leaders of the Republican Party, dear God. I think I can feel my father and Goldwater spinning in their graves. The crazy right-wing guy in New York,
mm-hmm.
Hoffman, he signed a pledge to uphold Glenn Beck's 912 project in Congress. He touts the endorsement from the 912 organization on his website.
Is he one of the ones that's trying to get it into the official record that 2 million people were at that 912
yeah.
protest?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you know, the highly partisan fire department said 60 or 70 tops. 1,000. Okay. Beck had Hoffman on his radio program continue to nudge him to be more conservative after being prodded by Beck to say climate change is not caused by human activity. Hoffman announced, well, I think there's a lot of debate on there. I don't believe that it's totally man-made.
At which point Glenn Beck probably shot him.
So you see, he's having his policy formed by Glenn Beck, is my point here. If you've ever watched Glenn Beck, you might notice just a little bit.
There's some crazy there.
Hoffman on his radio show, I have the transcript, he said, I have good mentors here. Glenn Beck, wait, are there mentors that will show Hoffman? I'm talking about you, Glenn.
Oh, Jiminy Christmas.
By the way, you remember the Fox News, apparently not a wing of the Republican Party, as the White House has called them. In the past few weeks, Beck has promoted Hoffman on multiple occasions, directing viewers to the Hoffman for Congress website and inviting Hoffman onto his Fox News program.
Campaigning for him.
His candidacy.
That's nice.
Beck promising to ensure a continued purging of moderates from the Republican Party, to which I say...
Computer says yes.
Yes, once again, good for Democrats, not so good for America.
Well, Joe Biden had a really good point in upstate New York yesterday.
They may not have any room for moderate views in the Republican Party upstate anymore, but let me assure you, we have room. We have room.
Yeah.
Yeah. We allow way too many opinions, in my opinion.
Oh, we can't be shoving out all the moderates out of this party either. Then we're going to have a true three-party system.
White House advisor Valerie Jarrett said Sunday that the rise of a conservative party challenger in that upstate New York race is showing the Republican Party leadership is becoming more and more extreme, more and more marginalized. She said it's rather telling when the Republican Party forces out a moderate Republican and says it says a great deal about where the Republican Party leadership is right now. She said, look at the number of people who actually say they're registered, consider themselves a Republican. That's the direction they want to go. Fine. What we're going to do is what we've always done. That is, we're going to reach out. When you think about it, what they're doing is the opposite of how Obama won. Obama really did reach out and really mm-hmm. did get a lot of independents and Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going the opposite. She said, we're going to try to include as many people to be part of our governing process, being open, being transparent, and we'll let the American people decide. Right now, you see a great deal of momentum moving forward, for example, on health care. The American people want change. They don't want the same old health care system that's not affordable, that doesn't offer coverage for everybody, that keeps escalating in cost. And we've seen the Republicans is really a desire to have the status quo,
mm-hmm.
which I, well... as evidence, as I mentioned, by Joe Lieberman saying, yes, nothing is better than the public option.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, my
Yeah, just
God.
Nothing. Just leave it the way it is. It's all good. Seems to be working for my friends, the insurance companies, just fine. Oh, by the way, I have a wheel of right-wing hypocrites, speaking of the
wheel
house.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
You know, Douglas Holes Eakin, he was a senior policy advisor to John McCain's presidential campaign.
Okay.
He remains unemployed, and his Cobra health insurance is running out, the Washington Post reports. Irony of ironies, it gets worse. Holes Eakin, who is about to start shopping for insurance in the individual market, is 51, and he has one of those pesky pre-existing conditions that insurance companies often cite in denying coverage. He said, this is the first time in my life he's not had employer-provided health coverage. I worry about where I go next in the way many Americans do. As you'll recall, during the campaign, he fervently defended McCain's proposal to shift more Americans out of their employer-sponsored coverage and into the individual health insurance market. The key to real reform is to restore control over our health care system to the patients themselves. That's the problem, is with the patients don't have any real control. The insurance companies
right. do.
Which I guess he's finding out on a personal level now. It's weird, isn't it? Their policy bites them in the ass.
Yeah, that's schadenfreude, but it's kind of sad.
Yes, it indeed. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pierce and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, author of Idiot America, Humor's Charlie Pierce, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. Stephanie Miller, oh, don't forget tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal.
That's right.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
And Carl Frisch is going to be co-hosting Right Wing World tomorrow as well.
Yes, for Media Matters. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. Come live blog with us. You can come tweet me, won't you?
Have you tweeted lately?
Or you can email us all there. Yes. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, here's a future husband for me. At least this woman has a better love life than mine. In Fort Worth, Texas, let's see the breaking news. A 39-year-old man has confessed to breaking into the home of an elderly woman and forcing her to watch as he performed a sex act on himself. Aww. He then ordered the 77-year-old woman to make him a sandwich before he fled with her cell phone.
Wait a minute. He performed a sex act on himself?
On himself.
That's talent.
And then I asked for a sandwich.
What kind of sandwich?
I didn't say.
Okay.
Okay. Don't say anything like fluffernutter or something. That's not that.
I was thinking bologna. Bologna.
Okay.
Sausage.
More excitement than I've had in my personal life in quite some time. All right. Lots to get to. Election Day today. We will get to what's going on around the country in a moment. I mentioned this earlier to our Congress critter, mm-hmm. Allison Schwartz, that Joe Lieberman, what can you say? What can you say about Joe Lieberman other than he's a douche? He said he would prefer nothing to help.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
To health reform with a public option. Here's where I feel like the liberal media is falling down on the job. Bob Schieffer has him on Face the Nation. Mm-hmm. He couldn't play any tape, which we played yesterday, of Lieberman claiming to be the one person that could get Connecticut universal health care with a public option, yada, yada. I mean, nobody catches these guys in their blatant hypocrisies. Him working with Tom Harkin to make sure that you can't filibuster mm-hmm. because the filibuster is not fair, it's not right. I mean, he is seriously the biggest hypocrite in politics today. So Bob Schieffer asked Joe Lieberman about, you know, would it be better than nothing? He said he claims he's all for health care reform, but he's threatening to join a Republican filibuster to stop any reform bill that has a public option. Schieffer said, wouldn't that mean you might wind up with nothing instead of something? Lieberman responded by saying supporters of the public option are stopping us from getting something done because they're making the option a litmus test. Pressed again by Schieffer, Lieberman admitted he would prefer nothing.
Wow.
And then he acted as though the public option was the only thing stopping him from supporting health care reform. Here's something Bob Schieffer might have brought up. It ignores the fact that Lieberman opposed the Baucus bill last month, which didn't contain a public option. Apparently, Lieberman just wants nothing when it comes to health care reform.
No, he wants to keep his checks coming in from the insurance companies that are based in the state of Connecticut.
Yes, we have Lieberman on this.
This is CBS News with your host, Bob Schieffer, and his guest, Senator Joe Lieberman.
Look, Bob, I'm all for health care reform, but if there's a public option attached to the bill, I will join the Republican filibuster.
So what you're saying is you wouldn't mind if you wound up with nothing?
No, the people pushing the public option are keeping us from getting something because we don't want anything to do with the public option.
So what you're saying is nothing is better than the public option.
Nothing is better than the public option.
So the public option is the best option?
What? No. Nothing is better.
So what's the best?
No. Can't you hear the hypothetical quotation marks around the word nothing?
So you want nothing?
No, we want something that has nothing to do with the public option.
So you want something for nothing?
No.
So anything is better than something? As long as that something is worth nothing?
Yes. I mean, no. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I see. I've made my point. We'll be right back after this.
Jim-Ward.com is the website. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. It's election day, everybody. Can't you feel the excitement? Can't you? Wow. Polls are close in the New Jersey governor's race. Democrat Cree, is that really his name, Cree?
Cray.
Cray.
Yeah, Cray.
Cray Deeves. trails GOP or Bob McDonnell in the polls by double digits. And yeah, Virginia is it's not going to.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
Conservative, but see, the problem is they're making this sound like this is some giant repudiation of Obama or whatever. There's some of these places the Democrat was not going to win anyway. Upstate New York, that will be a miracle. Let's see, blah blah blah. Yeah. In the polls by double digits, conservative Doug Hoffman. He's the Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck candidate. That Rush that scared the actual Republican out of the race.
Yeah, he's a far right lunatic.
Mm-hmm. He leads Bill Democrat Bill Owens in the congressional district. Although I'm hearing, because Didi Scozzafazza threw her support to the Democrat, that her voters may be enough to put him over the top. They don't know. It's going to be close.
Yeah.
Maine voters are being asked if gay marriage should remain legal. That's trailing, I believe. Washington state voters are deciding on a domestic partnership law, which is winning by a fairly wide margin. Mm-hmm. Last I saw, in it's still that word, marriage.
It's the everything.
That's a
but
sticky wicket.
Everything but marriage initiative in
just,
Washington.
I've made the suggestion before. Let's call it cabbage.
Whatever.
Something that doesn't make people quite so crazy.
And also voters in Ohio are trying to decide if they want casino gambling in their state. That's a big bugaboo there.
You know, when you already have John Boehner, what else do you really need in Ohio? When
John Boehner.
Exactly. All right. The Boehner, John Boehner.
John Boehner.
Mm-hmm, said he regrets backing former Republican candidate Didi Scozzafazza.
Scozzafazza.
I'm guessing he had a mantrum. He had a blubbering crying fit over the fact that... He says, this lady clearly has an agenda that's different than most Republicans. She was out there promoting herself, and we're doing everything we can to help Doug Hoffman in this race, and we hope he wins. See, he looks like a boob because he donated $5,000 to her campaign.
Oh, he did not.
And threw his weight behind her.
John Boehner.
Oh, yeah.
They're a little
bit
in disarray, the Republican Party. They don't die. I don't. Hey, that's... So, fearful that the party had almost no chance of winning the November 3rd New York special election after Republican Didi Scozzafazza, abruptly announced Saturday she was dropping out, high-ranking national Democrats immediately began working to secure her endorsement of Democrat Bill Owens. Mm-hmm. On Sunday afternoon, their vigorous efforts paid off as Scozzafazza bucked her own party and issued a statement supporting Owens over the Conservative Party. Doug Hoffman, a coup for Democrats who recognize that their best remaining chance of winning the Republican-leaning seat on Tuesday would be to swing disaffected Scozzafazza voters their way. It may work. That would be a surprise. That would be a... She's devastated that these outside interests are trying to hijack her moderate wing of the party, said one New York Democrat. This guy isn't, not even from the district, Hoffman.
Yeah.
There was a story in the paper there that he doesn't even know what the issues are in the district. And he was apparently annoyed about being asked about them. The crazy wing, you know, who knows? Well, the Sarah Palin, Rush Limbaugh wing of the party.
Well, the Conservative Party is an official third party in the state of New York.
New York Republican consultant Brendan Quinn predicted the lion's share of Scozzafazza's support will now go to Owens and boost his numbers by 5 to 8 points today. This move by the assemblyman will make her the spoiler in this race and could deliver the election to Bill Owens, according to another consultant there. So that would be, come on, that would be the complete implosion. And, you know, Obama started it by picking the Republican that was in that seat to be one of his whoever's, somebody in the administration.
Mm-hmm.
Obama will be laughing his ass off if that happens today. All right. So guess, there's a concern. By the way, they aren't done yet, the right-wing wacky wing of the Republican Party.
Oh, what are they up to now?
They're just getting warmed up. That's the problem, is everybody thinks, oh, this is bad news for Democrats. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe worse news for Republicans. The conservative coup in upstate New York did much more than lay bare the power of conservative activists. It's exposed how little control Republican officials hold over this surging and formidable political movement, which is as much opposed to them as they are to Democrats, which is, come on, kind of funny. Look at the Boehner. The Boehner and Michael Steele got behind the Republican candidate.
John Boehner.
Yeah, exactly. And then this thing imploded. In the wake of a conservative's role in forcing liberal Republican Didi Scozzafazza out of the race, GOP officials are trying to make it seem as if they're helping to stoke the passion and can harness it to upend President Obama and Democrats. They didn't, and they can't, according to Politico today. Many of the activists who helped knock her out of the race said the passion is building despite, and sometimes despite, Republican leaders in Washington. Jennifer Bernstein, teabagger,
Oh, okay. Yes. That's where we know her from.
Central party organizer for the 9/12 thing.
Uh-huh.
She said, I don't give a crap about party.
She don't give a crap about party.
Grassroots roots activists don't care about party. Everett Wilkinson? Tea Party. You're supposed to ask me. We would know him from.
Oh, and we would know him from.
Thank you. Teabagger from Florida.
Oh.
We are not going to allow our movement to be stolen by the GOP. They've lost control of this thing already. The energy on the right seems to exist outside the control of conventional political structure, and Republican politicians and operatives are as likely to be victims of the anger as beneficiaries. Republican leaders are about to learn the lesson again, several conservatives warned. Grassroots activists are ready to turn their fire on Republicans in a host of races around the country. Guess who they're looking at?
Who?
Charlie Crist.
They don't like Charlie Crist, the exceedingly neat and tan formerly bachelor governor of Florida?
He's too moderate. We'll use that word.
Ah.
He's there's a conservative House, state House speaker is taking on Charlie Crist, and that's the next target, I guess, of the crazy right-wing conservatives.
You know, I watch a lot of Fox News at night.
I'm sorry.
And I've kind of been seeing this coming for a long time. They are really itching for a national conservative party to...
And I say go. Be free of your Republican slave masters. Go! Be free. Don't break free of the chains. It's like Amistad over there. You've got to go.
Amistad.
You've got to be free. Yeah, exactly. You've got to...
You don't know your slave ships,
numerous,
do you?
Numerous GOP officials have told Political they worry that the party has been hijacked by a noisy and powerful minority that will keep the GOP in a noisy and not-so-powerful minority for a long time. And a T and a he.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you know, by the way, one other one we haven't looked at, that is, you know who's running there as a Republican? What's his, Vincent, the wrestling lady, Vince McMahon's wife.
Oh, God. What is her?
Linda
McMahon. That's it, yeah.
Connecticut Democrats have filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission charging that Republican Senate candidate Linda McMahon's campaign illegally colluded with the WWE, founded by her husband Vince, to remove offensive wrestling videos from YouTube. Do you know how many things I would like removed from the Internet? Why don't... Can you do that?
Like your interview with Corey Feldman from the late night Stephanie Miller show?
A few Evening at the Improv from the 80s? What the
hell? Oh, well, there is that.
The complaint alleges that the WWE pulled the videos after Democrats allied with Senator Chris Dodd complained the company's hugely popular events feature simulated rape and other deeply non-PC shenanigans. Sex with the dead, stuff like that. You know, the stuff that Gary Bauer's into, allegedly.
But that's what goes on every night at the WWE.
Yes, but how many of us could get something we don't like removed from the Internet?
Wow.
In swift response to the negative attention Ms. McMahon was receiving from the videos, her family's company that same day ordered YouTube to remove the videos from its website, according to the complaint.
You can't order YouTube.
Well, I was like, can you do that? So I need a bunch of stuff out of there.
Like the video of your pit stains from MSNBC?
Yes! Some Evening at the Improv's, a bunch of stuff.
We've got to leave your interview with Isabel Sanford up there, though. We have to. Oh, my God.
Wow. I would like to order the Internet's purged right now of anything embarrassing about...
Stephanie Milton.
Wish I had that power. I need to marry Vince McMahon.
We're still looking for your DeSales Catholic High School yearbook photo.
Good luck with that. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Humorous Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, author of Idiot America, coming up in just a couple of minutes.
That's right. And frequent panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I know. He's awesome.
Oh, I love that show.
This is what we've been talking all day. It's Election Day.
Yes, across the country.
In some places.
Not here.
No.
And so it's like...
It's like it's a different holiday here. At any rate...
California tends to have their elections like in May and March.
I can't believe we have a different proposition every other week. What, we have nothing today? There's nothing?
We got nothing.
That's how we ran this state into the ground, because they ask us about everything and we don't know what the hell we're talking
exactly.
about. Would everyone like free ponies and ice cream? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Do you want to raise taxes to pay for that?
Computer says no.
No, we're broke. How did we do that?
How are those different propositions? Why shouldn't they be in the same proposition?
I don't know. It's like why Prop 8 was so ridiculous. Since when do you put minority rights to a majority vote?
Yeah.
To, like, mob rule and a bunch of, out-of-staters that pour money in with lies and blech.
We just need to get rid of the initiative process here in California, because that's why we elect people to serve for us.
You would think that there would be some bipartisan magical moments, like, for instance, that most people would be against rape. But no.
Computer says no.
Huh?
As you know... rape victim, by the way, rape victims covered by Senator Al Franken's mm-hmm. amendment. In 2005, everybody's probably heard this story by now, Jamie Lee Jones, Halliburton, KBR co-workers gang raped her while she was working in Baghdad. Last month, Senator Al Franken, Senator Phil O'Reilly, Al Franken proposed an amendment that would withhold defense contracts if companies restrict their employees from taking workplace sexual assault, battery, and discrimination cases to court. Although the amendment passed 30 Republican senators, that would be 30 pro-rape Republican senators voted against it.
How can you vote against something like that?
Sadly, one of the Republicans singled out for especially harsh criticism, Senator David Hooker Vitter, the Republican of Louisiana.
He of the, like, the
women. Who has a track record of siding against women's rights, except presumably the hookers that he frequents.
With the diapers.
Yeah, allegedly. Those he likes, I'm told. At a town hall meeting this weekend, a constituent, a rape victim, confronted Vitter about his role. She demanded that he explain why he opposed Franken's amendment. Vitter refused to give her a straight answer. The woman said, "How can you support a law that tells a rape victim that she does not have the right to defend herself?" Vitter, ma'am, the language in question did not say in any way, shouldn't say that in any way, shape, or form. Yes, it did. The woman said, "But it's unconstitutional to have a law that says a woman does not have a right to defend herself." Vitter then tried to deflect the blame to the Obama administration.
How?
The woman said, "But I'm not asking Obama, I'm asking you." Vitter reported, "Do you think he's in favor of rape?" Oh, good one, Senator. Good one, yes. I'm sure many people think that President Obama is for rape. Mm-hmm. Vitter's criticism of the Obama administration isn't quite correct, you'll be surprised to know. While the Obama Defense Department raised concerns about the reach of the Franken Amendment, the White House itself said it supported the intent and was working to make sure it was enforceable. So, nice try, Senator Hooker Vitter. You'd think someone with a hooker incident might go the pro-woman route on this particular amendment, but he did not. Author Charlie Pierce, humorous extraordinaire, author of Idiot America, next to talk about all things topical as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Are you out of your peanut-sized mind?
Computer says yes.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. The president, by the way, called Afghan President Karzai to congratulate him after... did the conservative Republicans chase that Abdullah guy out of the race there, too? Or what happened over there? He left, and now the Ahmed Karzai is the winner! By no margin, because they got canceled or whatever. All right. The president talking about Ahmed Karzai.
But I emphasize that this has to be a point in time in which we begin to write a new chapter based on improved governance, a much more serious effort to eradicate corruption.
The president talking about the process of the election itself.
Although the process was messy, I'm pleased to say that the final outcome was determined in accordance with Afghan law, which I think is very important, not only for the international community that has so much invested in Afghan success, but most importantly, is important for the Afghan people, that the results were in accordance with and followed the rules laid down by the Afghan Constitution.
They say the decision is coming within a few weeks about troop levels. Robert Gibbs yesterday, White House press secretary, talking about the vote in Afghanistan.
Two commissions determined that a series of votes, a big chunk of votes, were fraudulent. They were thrown out, which required the sitting president to have to go through a second round. I think that demonstrates that the laws and institutions of Afghanistan work.
Hmm. All right. So
it was a bit messy, though. The president was right.
Please, what? Ask anybody in Florida, 2000. All right, 35 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce is here, everybody. Author of Idiot America, Humorist Extraordinaire. Good morning, Charlie.
Hello, Mama and the Moose Cubs, everybody.
Good, baby. Good. How you doing?
Very well. I mean, this is interesting to me. If you have an election and you cheat the other guy so badly he thinks it's futile and doesn't run again, then you have a good election the second time?
Like, I give up. He's just going to cheat again.
Says, you know, this is too much even for me. I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to go back out and be a warlord or a drug czar or something again.
I'm going to do something reputable, like be a drug czar again.
I have a wonderful impression of Robert Gibbs. The man can just smooth over anything.
Yes, he can. He is smooth. Well, you know, I have to ask you, Charlie, what did you think of the, you know, the right wing, of course, is saying, oh, this is just a photo op and he went to Dover Air Force Base. I mean, you know, I like the fact the administration is saying, yes, the president wants to point out the cost of war. And well, yes, it affects him. And yes, it's going to affect his decision.
I mean, I do like people who are professional politicians who wake up one morning as 13-year-old virgins and don't realize that there might be political advantages to like being president of the United States. Look,
yes.
You know, I mean, I thought, well, first of all, let's get it out of the way. It was a terrific photo op. It was a great photo op. It was a mother of all photo ops. But that having been said, this is what, you know, rulers have done for 3,000 years. You go out and honor the dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, unlike the President Bush, who never, ever went to Dover and never, ever went to a funeral and wanted to ignore it and have us not see the coffins or not even, you know, talk about the cost of war.
Yeah, he does sort of suffer by comparison here, doesn't he? But, you know, again, I mean, this is what you do if you're the leader of the country. If you're asking people to go and die, you go out and make a public show of how you honor their sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you do if you're a king or a president. This doesn't start with democracy.
Yeah. So speaking of what the right wing is bitching about this week, Charles, what do you think of what appears to be the continued implosion of the Republican Party, particularly in this upstate New York race where the moderate Republican was chased from the race?
I wish to God I could be as sanguine about it as a lot of people on our side of the aisle are, but this makes me a little bit nervous for upcoming elections.
Well, how so?
Because I watched how fast Newt Gingrich pivoted from this,
right.
this Hoffman guy being, you know, the troll under, you know, the troll who's crossing my bridge, the troll under the bridge,
yes.
to being like the future of the Republican Party. He did it in a heartbeat. And if the Democrats are going to continue to almost, it's not going to be that hard to position the Democrats, paradoxically, as the party of big business and big government. They're already halfway there. And if these guys, and if the other side can do that, Then I'm not real thrilled about this. Now, do I think it's a program for a lasting political realignment in the country? No. But do I think it's a program for making real mischief over the next 4 to 8 years? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in New York, I'm not sure. I mean, it seems close. I think Democrats, though, went from not having any chance to now that, you know, with Skovafava, whatever her name is, her votes
Skovafava.
Going to the Democrats.
Skovafava. Skovafava beans and a nice Chianti.
Exactly. Exactly. The Republicans want to eat her liver.
Exactly. Already have. I mean, you have to love this one, though. This guy doesn't even live in the district.
I know. And
that used to be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, why didn't Sarah Palin run herself?
That's what I love, and doesn't seem to understand the issues in the district, and was fairly annoyed that anyone even asked him about them.
Yeah, wanted to be presented the issues in the district on an index card so he could familiar with it.
Yeah.
Why don't they just take this guy to AAA? Get him a little triptych for the district.
Exactly. So, meanwhile, big weekend.
Again, the other thing is that's interesting, and this is totally a function of time zones. There's another special election in California that the Democrats are probably going to win.
Which one?
Garibaldi or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of the district. It's a 10th, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, there are 9,000 congressional districts in California. Who can keep up?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. What? So, meanwhile, big week in health care. It looks like we're going to get a House bill this week. And, again, the right wing, represented by the likes of Virginia Fox. Did you hear this little nugget, by the way, this week? Take a listen, Charlie.
I believe that the greatest fear that we all should have to our freedom comes from this room, this very room, and what may happen later this week in terms of a tax increase bill masquerading as a health care bill. I believe we have more to fear from the potential of that bill passing than we do from any terrorist right now in any country.
Yes, if that bill passes, buildings will fall and trains will be derailed. I got to give you one thing. It is pretty terrifying in that building right now, especially on one side of the aisle. You know what she said? She sounds like one of the old ladies who used to scare Scout Finch on the way home from school and kill a mockingbird. You know, the old Confederate lady with the pistol under her shawl and stuff?
She does look like one of the lunch ladies in my high school. Yeah.
I really do. I think she should have a hairnet and be giving me meatloaf instead of nuts. I mean, I do admire the fact that North Carolina has elected the same person since Reconstruction. I think that's a very valuable piece of institutional memory. But, you know, on the other hand, she's not. So why are we listening to this?
Well, but that's
best. I mean, isn't there something? I mean, I despair of asking this question because I ask it all the time. Isn't there somebody in that party who could go up to her this afternoon and say, you know, passing a watered down, mediocre health care bill that's going to make us all buy, you know, insurance from the greedy vampires in the insurance industry, it's really not the same as like putting plastic in a railroad train. Maybe we have to work on our metaphors a little here, Virginia.
Yeah.
Why don't we stitch it on a sampler first before we try it out in our rhetoric?
Yeah.
It looks good on a sampler.
I mean, but that's the problem, Charlie. Like I was saying, even between her and Bachman and God knows who, I mean, good for comedy, right? But really not good for America,
well, bad
the
for
rhetoric go- coming out of
that. Bad for governing if it can be, and particularly bad for politics if it can be fashioned into some, if all of this, and a lot of this, you know, a lot of this kind of, like inchoate populist rage is for real. This is a jobless recovery. We got two wars that don't seem to be going anywhere. People
right.
are not happy. People are losing their homes, and there's a fertile seedbed for somebody to come over and say it's all their fault.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. But that is kind of, you do have to hand it to him, Charlie, on that level. Like, that's a pretty neat trick to blame the guy that's been here for 9 months trying to fix all those problems.
As I said, to make the Democrats the party of big business and big government at the same time. That's an unbelievable parlay right there. And they're halfway home on that because basically, that, you know, the Obama administration hired a bunch of foxes who rebuild the hen house they'd already burned down.
Yeah.
If there was one guy in the Treasury Department right now who was sort of on the side of consumers, I'd feel a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I hear you. But, you know, was it Stephen Colbert or somebody that said this, you know, mindless populist rage can be fun?
It can also be effective. It can also be really, really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, and who knows what, you know, although I did notice that, what's the guy's name, Hoffman up in New York?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not in New York. He might be anywhere.
Yes.
He's running his, you know, he might be.
He's kind of a floater.
Yeah. You know, the guy might be in a call center in Bangalore. Who knows? Hello, I'm your congressman. Is there anything I can help you with? Press 2 for health care.
They've outsourced even their congressional
That's
positions.
Exactly right. I don't think that conversation with the editorial board, I don't think he was there. I think there was a speakerphone. And I think they accidentally got attached to the guy who works for my cable company.
All right. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America and our weekly guest. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys. Have a great time.
See you next week. There we go. Charlie Pierce.
Hooray.
Chris Enicki. I'm Bob Hoffman.
He makes me LOL every time he's on.
OMG. OMFG.
FTW.
Yes. 43 minutes after the hour. The president had some encouraging words about the economy. We will tell you what they are as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
48 minutes after the hour. Representative Bruce Braley, Democrat of the great state of Iowa, coming up next hour. We have to ask once again, what's up with these Democrats? That every time we get like right to the goal line on health care, the latest thing, in case you hadn't heard the breaking news this morning. White House leaders, or excuse me, House leaders moving toward a vote on health care legislation by the end of this week.
Yes.
Enough Dems are threatening to oppose the measure over the issue of abortion to create a question about its passage. A block of Democrats are worried the bill could lead to public funding of the procedure. We talked to Representative Allison Schwartz about that earlier, that it specifically says in the bill that funds cannot be used for abortion. So to me, that was a talking point we heard coming out of the right wing. And now when we have people that are supposed to be with us, like a Lieberman or some of these blue dog Dems on the public option or whatever, it just makes me, I'm in the I hate everybody party again. Being it's election day, what do we do? Do we vote these people out?
Would it do us any good to vote these people out?
I'm telling you, but I've said this over and over. If health care reform goes down, blue dog Dems are going to be the first ones to go. They're going to get swept out if we don't get health care reform done. You know, look at the polls. Look at how many people want health care reform, want a public option. What about you out there on the phones? 1-800-STEP-12. Where the hell are the phones working this morning? Where? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bunch of interesting stuff up as we were talking about for election today. Rachel Maddow talking about this last night. It still continues to irritate me about, it seems like it's just the word marriage in the gay marriage thing, because in Washington State, by the way, yay for Washington State, they're deciding on a domestic partnership law, but that's way ahead. The gay rights provision is way ahead in Washington State. In Maine, it's a gay marriage thing, and it's doesn't look good,
no,
right?
So it's a lot of money has poured into that.
Same
from out
the
of
same
state.
Money and the same commercials,
yep.
Just different actors than they used in California.
Yeah, before all of this falderol, it was supposed to win handily.
Yeah, they will start teaching it in school. Do you? You know that whole thing again? That play.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Meanwhile, we've been talking about the White House saying the truth that Fox is an arm of the Republican Party. Hello. But there was a story in Politico yesterday, and I have personal experience with this, on pro-Fox Democrats.
Yes.
For instance, Democratic pundit Bob Beckel has been under contract with Fox News for 6 years. As you know, I've not been invited back.
Not since your incident with Neil Cavuto.
Oh, was it that incident, or was it the incident with Sean Hannity?
That was your last incident.
That was my last incident.
That was
yes.
Your last time on
the
Fox News
Channel.
Oh, and
I was the subject of a whole lecture the next day
by
Neil Cavuto.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, they don't like Democrats like me.
No, they don't.
I'm a little too plucky.
Too feisty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I did. I suggested that perhaps Fox News tends to lean toward the right. That's what I said. I said that... because they were loving the Democratic primary because it was obviously tearing the Democratic Party apart. And I said, that you'd like that here at Fox News, wouldn't you, Neil? You'd like this to go on and on and on, the Democratic primary. And he took exception that I would think that Fox News was in some way rooting against the Democratic Party.
I thought you'd suggested that what they did wasn't journalism. You said journalism. You ought to check into it.
Oh, that was on Hannity.
Oh, that was on Hannity?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I know, because you know what happens is I tend to get a little... I get a little emotional because I don't even want to be on it because it's always a Fox topic.
Yes.
It's always a setup. And so in this case, they were doing, it was a topic about Cindy Sheehan, which was just an excuse to bash her.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to love her, and I happen to really feel for her having lost her son. And anyway, I just was, I know what it was. I had you do a little rudimentary, what's the word? Producing. Journalism. I had you check because she was nominated for a Nobel. So the whole premise of their topic was incorrect because it was, Cindy Sheehan says she's nominated, that was the topic. I was like, yeah, well, she was. My producer called the Associated Press and we called Cindy Sheehan. But see, they didn't bother to do any of that.
No.
So I did say that. I said Journalism Fox should check into it sometime. And that's
they got a little defensive.
Yeah, it's been a long, cold winter for Mama. However, However, Politico writing a debate about this, about whether Democrats should go on Fox or not. Bob Beckel has been under contract in the midst of the White House war against the cable network. Some of his liberal friends think it's 6 years too many. They've invited him to lunch for an intervention, asking how he's a true blue Democrat. He worked for Robert F. Kennedy, Walter Mondale. How can he give comfort to the enemy? Beckel said, I talk to more persuadable voters in a month than anybody on MSNBC or CNN talks to in a year. It is true it's a bigger audience.
Absolutely. There's no denying that.
Democratic consultant Liz Shadaron, I don't know her, but she's a regular, I guess, on Fox. She said it sucks. It's very, very tough to be a Democrat on Fox.
You know what? I watch
it's
a lot.
It's not pleasant.
I'm sure it's not. I watch a lot of Fox News. I've never heard of that woman.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
She was on The Factor. She referred to the detainees at Gitmo as victims. It was a verbal faux pas, and she knew it. But no sooner had she gotten off the air when she received a death threat. Oh, please. Welcome to my world, Liz. I get a well, you know, I called, what's his name, Sock.
Sock.
Yeah, that guy, the insurance guy.
That's Sock.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven. A special friend who's got an AK-47. He's a retired insurance man.
We give him a jingle.
We did.
Way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's
And that was the Hannity that I got that death threat.
Yes.
He suggested, or he said he hoped that somebody shoved an AK-47 up mine and Cindy Sheehan's glory holes.
That's right.
What?
Which I don't think we have those. But
Sock sent that letter to Fox News Channel, and Fox News Channel.
They nicely forwarded it to me.
They certainly did.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she was recently, invited to talk business with Neil Cavuto, because I guess since I was,
You're fired.
Yeah, they needed to get somebody. Even though she readily admits she has no background in economics. See, that's my problem, too. I'm like going, I don't, they invited me on that business channel. I'm like,
CNBC.
I don't really,
I know
when I'm being set up. Shadaron says, speaking about these issues is not my forte, and I'm kind of getting the tar kicked out of me. Susan Estrich, the Carol Channing of the Republican Party, or the Democratic Party. Yes, well, Sean. She's been on the payroll for more than a decade. She said, if there's something I think is not right, I pick up the phone and call. What I've been hopefully able to do is offer both thoughts both inside and outside. Yeah, but they don't do anything about it. Can you imagine?
It has been...
Roger, it's Susan Estrich. Yeah, I don't like how... The Democratic Party's being...
Can you imagine? He probably just puts her on hold.
It has been over a year since I've seen Susan Estrich come anywhere near the Fox News Channel.
Shadaron, the Fox pundit I was talking about, has been dialing it back in recent months, making polite excuses when Booker's called to inquire. I've done that.
Yeah, you have.
I always have a thing with a guy at a place. Or I tell Rebecca to tell them I have a thing with a guy at a place.
Well, also for you, it's way across town.
Oh, in cocktail hour.
Yeah.
She adopted a personal policy of not going on Hannity's show after he was condescending to her. Are you kidding me? He's condescending to everybody. When the hit was over, I ripped off the microphone and started screaming at the producer. She said they ignored me and said, thanks for coming, and hung up. Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, we'll tell Sean. He'll be very upset. I know. One of the Democrats said he continued to appear less frequently until calling it quits after a show in May in which a Michelle Obama's patriotism was being served up for debate. That's what I'm talking about. It's the Fox topic.
It is.
They trap you in a stupid topic that you shouldn't be talking about anyway. So,
Shano did a little bit of research.
Yes.
And the last time you were on Fox was on March 25th of 2008.
Oh, it's been a long freeze, hasn't it?
Yeah, well over a year.
Oh, I just wait by the phone.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then there was that time that O'Reilly Booker called me.
Yeah.
And I said, I would love to. And he said, well, good, I'll run this up to Bill. I said, you do that. And I never got a call back. I think they prefer the Democrats that don't mention the phone sex scandal number one. Probably that's number one.
Yeah.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with your calls on healthcare, right-wing world, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I feel good. Hey, I'm back
minutes after the hour. The Dow is down 21 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Robert in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks. You know, there's so much BS swirling around this health care debate. And, you know, and of course, there's that kosher pile of steaming BS in the Senate.
yes.
But the argument I like to use is that, you know, if baby and baby's mama are able to access affordable health insurance and health care, you know what? Baby's mama's going to keep the baby. And I tell you what, we need to use that argument right now, right here.
Yep. This is the thing. We're getting so close, Robert, to the finish line, as I was saying, on health care. And, you know, you got people like Lieberman and Blue Dogs, and now it's like conservative Democrats talking about, to me, this is such a, it's the abortion provision, right?
But yeah, and they're just all trying to get their name out there, you know, for some political gain. And really, you got to hope that they come to their senses and realize that, you know, we need to do something for the greater good and not just their political career.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with the head of Pro-Choice America. She said they're attempting to ban abortion coverage in the private insurance market is what it comes down to. And these are Democrats. I understand the range of opinion on abortion, absolutely, but it's just in a giant health care bill where it's specifically written in that federal funds can't be used for abortion, and that's not enough for Democrats? What the hell are we doing? Let's go to Corey in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Corey.
Hey, Mama, how you doing?
Good, baby.
All right. Hey, I live up in Chicago. I'm unemployed. My health insurance ran out. And listening to you, I love you guys because you just say it straight what it is. I'm sick of listening to all these Democrats, Republicans, independents, hoo-ha, whatever they want to be, flip-flopping around. Quit worrying about your political careers, your hidden little religious agendas to be put in there with everybody else, and get us some health care that we can afford.
Yep. I mean, that's, and you know what, and you speak for you look at any poll, the vast majority of Americans. You know, this is all politics, the rest of it that's being played. Let's go to Val in Los Angeles. Hey, Val, welcome.
Hi there. Hi.
Hi.
On the abortion issue in particular, I'm kind of concerned that they're setting up a slippery slope here by even putting that language in there. Because people like me who are opposed to war in large part would like to be able to say, well, we don't want our tax dollars to go to the Pentagon budget. But we don't get to say that.
Right.
And if they put this in there and say, well, we can oppose tax dollars for legal medical procedure, then, you know, where are they
going from there? You said it best. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. That's what I'm saying. You can't say it's a legal medical procedure right now. And I understand you may disagree with that, but you're absolutely right about it's a slippery slope. There's a lot of things I wish my dollars weren't spent for.
Exactly, and we get no say in that.
But, I mean, the thing is, Val, this is such a convoluted issue when you think about it, too. The Hyde Amendment already prohibits federal funds from being used for abortion. So they're talking about, oh, but what if part of a federal subsidy is used with a private thing and maybe this and maybe that? It's like, come on. You know, we're going to gum up the whole health care works because of this.
I've got a talking point for anybody who chooses to contact Lieberman or anybody else who might stand in the way of this bill getting done well. I think we should tell them, we get it, it's about the money. And it's okay for you to take their money, the lobbyists, and thumb your noses at them with your vote, instead of this time, you know, taking our money and our ballot box support and thumb your noses at us again.
Joe Lieberman, he's got to be the most transparent of people in this whole debate, isn't he? I mean, give me a break. He's on record as being against the filibuster. He's on record saying he's the only one that can get Connecticut universal health care. I mean,
yeah, I think maybe what he thought of, meant by universal health care when he said it back then was, let Cigna and Aetna and United and Blue Cross duke it out, and then we'll have one big insurance company.
Yeah.
Maybe that's United Healthcare.
Yes.
Bill. I don't know.
Yeah. He's thinking, gee, if maybe there was some way it could be more advantageous to my friends in the health insurance industry. But, you know, you're in a state where nearly 70% are for the public option. I mean, come on. We see you. Let's go to Joe, my trucker friend in South Dakota. Hello, Joe. Welcome.
Hello. I'm an over-the-road driver, and I'm going back to your Fox News stuff. I visit a lot of truck stops around the United States, and what really irks me if I go in a restaurant or something like this, the only thing that's on is Fox News.
That's right.
Yep. Yes, I know. We've said that. I mean, you know, look, first of all, I think there's a reason they have ratings. They are, you know, political porn, and I get it. They're entertainment, but I think you're right. They also have a huge leg up in the cable systems.
Well, same with hotels. They're in every hotel you go to.
I have asked waitresses to change the channel on TV, and he says, we can't. They won't let us.
Ah.
And
do they give a reason why they won't let?
They said their management says it has to stay here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you know that. You know, Joe, you know that anecdotally. You know it. I know it because I travel. I rarely is there any hotel I can get MSNBC in.
Anyway, I also have heard that they own that Fox News owns the TVs and the cabling there, and that's the agreement they have.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Yeah, and as you know, you can get no more
Stephanie Miller
on the Fox News since. Oh, yes, that's right. Shano, he sent us the montage that pointed out why
did.
I got fired from Fox, for which, by the way, you have to be a big loser, Chris, because I, as you know, was not getting paid.
No, you never got paid.
So that takes talent. That takes talent to get fired from a job that you make nothing at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. You're fired.
And it gives you guys, the Republicans, an issue. And other right-wing tools like you, Chris.
I ducked underneath the couch when you called Chris Matthews a right-wing tool.
It's called journalism. Fox News might want to check into it sometime.
I only winced on this one.
Well, you'd like that at the Fox News, wouldn't you, Neil?
You took a slap at Fox News.
Radio talk show host Stephanie Miller. You're fired.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to say? I was like, yeah. Yeah, I took a slap at Fox News, so?
You
did. What am I in? What is this, the Vatican?
You didn't deserve a lecture for that.
Kim in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Steph. I think, you know, these conservatives that are bringing up the whole abortion issue are simply, I think they're going to vote for the health care bill. But I think what they're trying to do is like you said, is it not already written into the bill that none of it will be used for abortions?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, and the Hyde Amendment protects that. It's just, that's what I mean. I literally, don't you feel like people are just acting like toddlers spinning on their back at this point?
Steph,
it's like, all right, what do you want?
Steph, I think they're trying to shore up their conservative constituents by stating, oh, no, I'm not going, even though they know it's not in the bill, I think they're just trying to say, oh, no, I'm not going to vote for abortion, and they're going to vote for the bill anyway. Not that I'm that crazy about the bill, but they're going to vote for the bill anyway. They're just trying to...
But, you know, somebody, Kim, called Lieberman's office and was talking to somebody that thought, you know, in the end, they really got the impression he's not going to actually filibuster or whatever.
Lieberman.
But then it's like, well, stop being a bunch of screaming two-year-olds to get attention.
Exactly. It's a temper tantrum. It gets attention. It gets a lot
he's
of
having life. A mantrum. Exactly. Thank you, Kim. Let's go to Janet in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Look, I just spent 2 days in D.C. lobbying the health care bill, trying to help the pro-life Dems vote for it. And I will tell you the truth of the matter is Congressman Schwartz didn't get it quite right. There is no Hyde Amendment in the health care bill,
mm-hmm.
and they've been telling leadership, the pro-life Dems, including Stupak doing the leadership work, that if they could just get a Hyde Amendment in it, it's called the Stupak Amendment now,
mm-hmm.
they got 43 Dems lined up to vote for that bill, and it could pass last week. And the reason she hasn't issued the bill yet. It's not on the website because they're waiting to twist arms. But all Stupak wants to do is continue public policy of banning funding from the public for abortion except in cases of rape, incest, or life of the mother. That's what we're waiting for. The bill is
right.
Done. Dems are
well, I mean, Steny Hoyer said they're close. They don't have a deal yet. But, I mean, it sounded to me like Congresswoman Short's thoughts that we are going to get there.
Yeah.
That's what they keep saying because they're twisting the pro-life Dems' arms. But I'll tell you, when we took back the House in 2006, we had 31 vote majority. 37 of them were pro-life Dems. If those pro-life Dems, they've told me, if I vote for this bill as it's written now without a Stupak amendment in it, I lose my election in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Indiana. Now, some arms are going to get twisted, and we're going to lose some seats. And I don't like NARAL trying to change public policy in America. For 30 years, we've had the Hyde Amendment.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I think that if it is a reasonable concern, I just think that it seems like there's so many people throwing up so many roadblocks over what their specific thing is about health care. It is just, to me, it's a huge thing that we have got to get done. Let's go to Victor, my right-wing love muffin in Tennessee. Hello, Victor.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm a truck driver, as you know,
yes.
And I'm in truck stops in and out. I don't stay there very often, but a few times I have been in somewhere Fox is not on, and I will say majority probably are Fox. And I am, if it's the MSNBC or CNN, I ask them to turn it to Fox, and they will if there's not a lot of people in there, and, you know, they'll turn it to Fox. But I'm against the health care, and I've got one example of why I'm against the public option in any health care. We need reform. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is that I've got an aunt that she's not bedfast, or she's you know, mobile with a walker.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she's got some problems with sores on her, you know, on her bottom because
mm-hmm.
she sits so much. Well, Medicare had this pillow that they could put in the chair, you know, that would help. It's a kind of a gel pack thing. It will help relieve some of the pain and help her. But to do that, you had to have a wheelchair, and to buy a wheelchair for Medicare, or that you had to have one that had been bought through Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you couldn't get it. So now she's got a good, perfectly good wheelchair that they bought themselves, but they're still going to make her, or make Medicare buy her a wheelchair so she can get this $80 cushion.
Okay.
And you want the government to have some stupid rules like that in there running our health care?
Why didn't she get her wheelchair through Medicare in the first place?
Well, because it was one that belonged to her sister who had bought it years ago and then gave it to her, so she didn't need a wheelchair. It was given to her.
Uh-huh.
So you tell me why would I want the government to run something when they got...
So your aunt has Medicare. That's how she got the wheelchair she has now.
No. Her wheelchair she's got now was given to her by her nephew, which belonged to her sister.
Okay.
Well, why didn't she... Well, then why doesn't she get another wheelchair through Medicare? Then she could have the pillow.
Well, why would you want to do that? That's wasting our money.
Oh, because it's a matter. Okay, it's a
government
thing.
That's why I say I don't want the government involved in our health care.
All right, Victor. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. The minute he mentioned his aunt's bottom sores, I got a little visual that I had not...
gave me sores on my bottom.
...hope for this morning. Was that a long, convoluted story that you didn't understand either, or is it just me?
Well, no, I kind of got it. I mean, his point was is that why should Medicare waste money buying her a wheelchair when she had a perfectly good one?
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so that's why we shouldn't have...
Because she
that's
got
why
it
we shouldn't
her,
have a public option at all.
Because she got it from her uncle's cousin's aunt who had it before. And
he was saying that if Medicare is like that, why should we have a public option at all?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he was the best spokesperson for that, but okay. Ed in Pittsburgh, do you currently have any bottom sores?
No.
Good.
God,
go ahead
no,
then.
I don't.
Go ahead then.
You know, what I don't understand about all this is that Obama keeps saying that, you know, Canadian model doesn't work for us, the single payer or the European model doesn't work for us. I'm just waiting for this guy in the administration. I'm still an Obama supporter, but I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me what works well about our current system that we want to keep.
Right.
Why would we, I mean, I'm talking about insurance. I'm not talking about delivery of care.
Well, yeah, exactly. When Obama said early on, if we were starting from scratch, we should go a single payer. And I'm like, well, okay, let's.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
what exactly is working about a system that is for profit?
That's what I want somebody to stand up and say. Our current for-profit health insurance system works well here, 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 and here. And that's why we need to keep it. And nobody's doing that.
Yep.
And he started out without even...
Well, and that's what I'm worried about, too, is that we are setting up the public option to fail by watering it down to such a degree. All right. Thank God. We always have somebody listening to us that knows something about something, and we have someone that works with specifically people with bottom sores. So we're going to get an explanation of our right-wing caller's problem and how that pertains to the healthcare debate. That right-wing world and Representative Bruce Braley as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, thank God. Denise in Washington can explain the butt sore wheelchair Fox viewer guy anti-Medicare person. Okay, Denise.
Hi.
I
work with disabled people, and wheelchairs need to be particularly fitted for whoever's in them, and that prevents the sores. So, you know, if he was listening to a medical professional, they're not wasting money. They're trying to make sure that they prevent the sores in the first place.
Right. Now, did you get how that connected to no government health public option?
I'm just sure Fox is paying this guy to call in. That's my theory, isn't it?
Yes. His point is his aunt with the butt sores doesn't need a fancy government wheelchair. Was that his point?
I think that was his point, because a hand-me-down chair from Aunt Bertha is much better than the government.
Ah, than us having to pay for the one that prevents the butt sores. Okay. All right, Denise, thanks for that. That was,
you're welcome.
That was delightful. Enjoy your meal, breakfast, whatever you're eating. Okay, let's go to Paul in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Paul.
I just want to know why they just don't end the antitrust exemption for the health insurance industry.
Well, they're trying to.
It would all go away.
Yeah, I know. That's in there, and I don't know why they got it in the first place, but that definitely is part of the legislation they're working on. Let's go to Bob in Madison, would like to respond to our Fox viewer as well. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
My only question is, does he think that private insurance would really cover the cost of the pillow in the first place? I mean, I have many health concerns, and the insurance will refuse to pay for medicines that are recommended by my doctor all the
time.
She
probably wouldn't get health insurance in the first place. Your aunt has a pre-existing butt sore condition that we would exclude her from being covered at all. So screw her and her fancy pillow. Let's go to Darren in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Darren.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a disabled American veteran, was discharged in 1990.
Thank you for your service.
Well, it was a medical discharge. I was hurt pretty badly in the service and was denied coverage until recently for some strange reason. But I've been in and out, I should say for my back in particular, the worst of the injuries. I've been in and out of the Medicare system or the VA system. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share with you my bad experiences that I've had with the government-run healthcare system. But I haven't had any yet, so I'll have to call you in the future.
All right, thank you. He fooled us there.
He did.
Let's go.
I was getting ready to fight.
Becky and Eureka, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say about the wheelchair thing. Here in California, Medi-Cal used to pay for each patient two wheelchairs, and they'd pay to maintain them. So it would be entirely reasonable for this woman to have a second wheelchair. Plus, I'd rather my tax dollars go to pay for her new wheelchair rather than her extended and very expensive stay in the long-term care hospital.
Sure.
There you
once
go.
Once her butt sores get that bad.
Thank you.
Butt sore surgery. That's a lot more expensive than a new wheelchair.
Not since Glenn Beck's botched ass surgery has there been so much talk on the radio about ass sores. Hello, Glenn. Quickly, Glenn in New York.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to make a comment on the whole thing with the wheelchair. I think what the guy was trying to explain is that he had a hand-me-down wheelchair, and Medicare wanted to pay for a whole entire wheelchair, mm-hmm. but just not for the cushion itself. So therefore, what he was trying to explain is that why couldn't he just get the cushion instead of just the whole entire wheelchair and save the people some money?
Oh, all right. Well, see, now it makes sense.
It was the wheelchair that gave her the butt sores.
Representative Bruce Braley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let me be clear. There is nothing on the planet that I love more than
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, now it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa joins us. Good morning, Congressman.
Happy Election Day, Stephanie.
Happy Election Day to you, too. Are you enjoying what appears to be the implosion of the Republican Party as much as I am?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They seem to be very good at the circular firing squad.
Yeah, they're running against themselves now. I mean, this upstate New York race really is kind of unprecedented, isn't it, that they ran the moderate Republican out of the race? And now, have you heard anything? I mean, I've heard it's going to be close.
Well, we know it's going to be very close, and New York politics is highly unusual because you have all these other election lines on the ballot. So you've got the Conservative Party, you've got the Working America Party, and you've got the Libertarian Party and other parties who have lines that candidates compete to get onto.
Right.
But I think the Scozza-Fava endorsement of Bill Owens is a huge victory when you consider that she received a lot of money from Republicans in the leadership in her race that the Tea Party helped implode.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, and they're saying that, you know, her voters could force, you know, or could get the race to the Democrat, which really would be unusual in that district, right?
Well, yeah, that's one thing you know about upstate New York. It's a lot like Iowa. People are very independent. My district is 40% independent voters, and one of the things you can do is make them angry when outside groups try to tell them what they should think and how they should vote. So it'll be fascinating to watch it unfold.
Well, and particularly this the conservative Guy Hoffman is not even from the district and apparently not really even familiar with the issues of the district and doesn't really like being asked about it either.
No, which is just a classic case for a fun election day outcome.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll stay tuned. Do you think, I mean, of course, they're already trying to, you know, any race that a Republican wins, they're trying to, you know, cast this as a repudiation of Obama and Democrats. How do you look at that?
Well, I have had the great pleasure of watching John Boehner's press conferences after we have pounded them in the past three special elections that they were all guaranteeing they would win, including Denny Hastert's seat, a seat in Louisiana, and a seat in New York, and a seat in Mississippi, of all places. And so I'm really looking forward to winning this seat and having him come out and say, for the fourth time, well, that was a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. The president, congressman, had this to say about the economy yesterday.
We are pleased that the actions that we took swiftly through the Recovery Act helped to stem what could have been a disastrous situation for the economy.
It does seem like we are getting some good news, that we've at least averted, as he said yesterday, a Great Depression.
Well, I think that's true, but the shocking thing is when I did all of my town hall meetings this summer, and I would remind people that was one of the reasons why we've had so many challenges in the president's first year, and I would start by saying, you know, a year ago we were facing the greatest economic crisis since the Great Depression, people would boo me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like people are living in a fantasy world and not understanding how severe this crisis was. And I was at a food bank in my district last Sunday, and one of the things that occurred to me is because we have great programs like the food banks that do terrific work all over the country, we don't have people standing in bread lines anymore, and they're not as visible. But if you have a recovery that is not creating jobs and you're one of those millions of Americans without work, I'm not sure that we've hit the point where we need to be, and that's what we need to be focused on.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, it looks like you guys are poised in the House to vote on health care reform this week, despite your colleague Virginia Fox saying that it would be worse than a terrorist attack if we pass health care reform.
I don't think we're leaving town until we've passed health care in the House, and I'm very excited about getting to that point, and I'm really excited about some of the positive changes that are going to go into effect immediately, which is what myself and many other members of the caucus have been pushing for. So I don't know what they've been looking at over there, but the bill that we're going to be voting on has enormous upfront potential immediately for Americans and enormous long-term potential to expand access to health care and reduce the overall cost for all Americans.
Well, and that's why I'm not for the trigger option. It seems to me like Americans need relief now, on health care reform. Are you confident? How confident are you at this point that what comes out of the House and the Senate is going to include a real public option?
Well, I was with you until you added the words "and the Senate."
That's where I lost you. Yeah.
But no, I'm confident we're going to have a very robust public option in the House. I think it's going to have strong support, and the leadership is counting votes right now to get to where we need to go. But look, this thing is going to have enormous upfront benefits to seniors by reducing the Medicare D donut hole immediately by $500. It's going to have immediate impact on young people who will be eligible to stay on their parents' insurance policy through their 27th birthday. It's going to eliminate a lot of the cost sharing for preventative medicine, improve help for low-income Medicare beneficiaries, help displaced workers, and increase immediately the number of primary care doctors and access to community health centers. So I think there's a lot of immediate upfront benefits that every American is going to be pleased with.
Well, two words for you, Congressman. Bring it. And I would like it on my desk, close of business Friday. All right, Congressman.
I'll make sure we overnight it to you.
Yes.
Congressman Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa, thanks for checking in with us, sir.
Likewise.
All right, there he goes. It's closing the donut hole, which means that Fox News viewer guy's aunt's going to get her ass cushion or
whatever.
Butt sores. Can you believe the show was saved this morning by talk about...
Yeah, by butt sores.
By butt sores.
Steve in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our Fox
I'm so
News.
Proud of what I do for
Thank
a living.
You. Well, it's a delight, and it's good to be on. I'm Dr. Steve from Albuquerque, and I believe that the public option is the only appropriate way that you should be treating butt sores. I did have one observation. One of your colleagues, let's call him Rush. I don't want to mention his full name.
Okay.
I understand he lost, he's been suffering terribly. He was unable to go in the military because of butt sores.
Yes, he had a giant anal cyst.
Yes. And
although Randy Rhodes had an anal cyst, and she was apparently able to serve.
Mr. Limbaugh is concerning because he only had resources of private health insurance, and what happened? He turned into a drug addict. So I just don't see how private health insurance can cover that gap. If you see what happens to people on private health insurance,
they
invariably turn into
giant drug-addled gas bags.
Yes. I hadn't heard that. So Randy Rhodes really did have a giant anal cyst.
Yeah, you know, there's been entirely too much talk about butt sores on this particular program. Luke in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Stephanie, what's up? How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I really like your show. You guys got a real good outlook on stuff.
Thank you.
And I'm kind of new to this stuff. And you know, when I first started off watching Fox News and and right about the moment they open their mouths, I switch the channel.
Yeah, it's good if you watch it without sound.
Yeah. They look funny.
Yeah, the colors are pretty.
They have nice graphics and shiny things and lots of lasers. And
things flying all over.
Mm.
Yeah.
Steve in Tempe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. It's very nice to talk to you guys. I love politics with slide whistle.
Thank you. Facts with slide whistle.
Facts with slide whistle.
Go ahead, sir.
One more butt sore comment.
Yes.
I think it's odd that this guy wants to get rid of his aunt's entire health care over an $80 pillow.
I know. That's what I couldn't believe. I was having an argument over an $80 ass cushion, and that proves somehow that a public option is bad, because why?
He doesn't think that he would have those exact same fights with the insurance companies, with the private insurance company?
Yes. Mary in Madison, you'll be on hold so long with your private insurance company, you'll get ass sores.
Yes.
Mary in Madison.
Hi, can I be your official physical therapist in Madison and physical therapy caller?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I saw you the other couple weeks ago at the Barrymore. Thanks for coming into town.
Oh, it was great fun. Go ahead.
Well, being a physical therapist for 32 years, there's like a plethora of different issues with health care, and single payer is really the most logical. Just putting everybody on Medicare is really, it makes the most sense, and it's the easiest as you've been touting. But as far as this wheelchair thing, I mean, you know, once you're given a wheelchair with Medicare, it takes a lot to get a second wheelchair, you know, and it honestly is a problem with people getting bigger and fatter. I hate to say this, but somebody's issued a wheelchair and then they're sitting primarily for a couple of years and then they get bigger and then they outfit, you know, they get bigger than their wheelchair and then they have to get Medicare to pay for another wheelchair or their cushion.
But they have to supersize it.
They have to supersize it.
So there is a bigger ass sore problem than we had previously.
And it's going to get worse.
It's an epidemic. All right. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
An epidemic of butt sores is breaking out all across the United States.
We have an entire segment full of butt sores when we come up, and it's known as a right-wing world. You know, they ate Republican Didi Scosafava with a nice Chianti, the crazy right-wing base did.
They not only ate her liver, but they ate all of her.
Yes. Including her career. We'll be back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sam in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say, I'm an independent, but how could anybody vote for this, national health care when it supports illegal aliens?
Oh, dear. That's untrue, Sam. You're a Joe Wilson fan.
No.
No, you. Oh, come on, you lie. See how I did that? Yeah, it does not cover illegals. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It specifically says that it's not going to cover.
That's one of them. Freeper calls. I am an independent.
However,
Stephanie, how can you be for health care that covers illegal aliens? Okay. By the way, right now,
health care covers illegal aliens.
Yes, because we're all paying for everybody that goes to the emergency room.
This bill would prohibit that.
Okay. Hey, that was a little impromptu right-wing world. Let's dive into the real right-wing world, shall we? Hey, Dick Army, formerly known as Penis Air Force.
Schwantz Coast Guard was his name.
Before that. Uh-huh. Talking about the right-wing crazies that just scared the moderate Republican out of the race in New York.
The energy today in political activism is coming out of the small government conservative movement, which is the biggest tent in politics in America today. Evangelicals, libertarians, Democrats, conservatives, independents, all saying Obama and Pelosi are going to take us too far to the left. It's time to put on the reins.
Yeah.
Says no.
Dick. Here, let me give you a little primer because I've said over and over, because I must point out. Barry Goldwater, my dad's running mate in 1964, he was pro-choice and pro-gay rights, which is primarily why Scozafaza was just, basically purged from the Republican Party.
Yes.
So, because he was a real. Getting the government out of people's lives, their private medical decisions, their. Who they love, all of that stuff, you see. So she, Scozafaza, really more in the mold of a Barry Goldwater Republican, for which there is no more room in the Republican Party. Drug-addled gasbag Rush Limbaugh.
For Didi Scozafaza to endorse the Democrat in New York 23. I know a lot of people got mad about it, so no, folks, it's great. Didi Scozafaza is illustrating precisely what moderate Republicans will do and who moderate Republicans are.
That's right. Go be free. Break the chains of the Republican Party. Go! Follow Rush and Glenn Beck. Good go! Don't let them treat you like that anymore. Those are the same voices of the conservative movement.
Pay no attention to my massive drug problem. Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on the Burp
Burper.
On the Scozafaza Huzzah.
The message here is that there is a true revolt. There's an opposition grassroots in the country to the overall Obama agenda. It's about high taxes. It's about expanding the government. It's about expanding the reach of government. It's about the government control. It's a fundamental and important movement.
Yes, it is important. It is important to expanding the Democratic majority. It's shrinking your party. Is it possible to get below 20%? Perhaps. Into the single digits. Go! Be free. Listen to your leader, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm really, really worried. We've never seen this kind of radical leadership at such a high level of power in the country.
Oh, he's talking
I believe
about the president.
Oh. That the economy is under siege, is being destroyed. Anybody with any economic literacy would not do one thing this administration's done to try to revitalize the private sector. They're destroying it. And I have to think that it may be on purpose, because this is just outrageous what is happening.
Oh, you mean like liberal socialists, like Geithner and...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see, which most economists have said they're making the right moves thus far. They have saved us actually from a great depression. Okay. See, there's the part where I would have to think even some right-wingers, Rush would have to lose them. Do you really think the president wants to destroy the private sector? I mean, really? Do you really think that?
Who in their right mind?
Okay. All right. Hannity on the...
There's a problem with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Look at the woman that they nominated. We just did this segment in the New York 23rd District.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they nominate somebody, cap and trade, stimulus... You know, social issues, one of the biggest spenders, a state legislator in Albany, state assemblywoman. And I'm thinking, they spent $900,000. Conservatives, the base of the party, are furious, and they ended up pushing her out of the race.
Yeah.
Is the Republican establishment that far out of touch with conservatives like me?
Yes, yes, yes. Go be free. Go follow Sean Hannity. He's right. Okay, Sean Hannity on the president.
When you look at the extreme czars and you look at Barack Obama and you look at the Barack Obama that portrayed himself 1 year ago as a very different candidate, you know, I feel like I have been vindicated. I was excoriated for saying he is far more radical than people know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you see about him? Do you think he is far? Do you think he's a socialist? Do you think he's... Because I think this is... If we get nationalized health care, it's over. This is socialism.
Mm.
And that's a kind word.
Mm. Yes, Sean, you were right about that. And in addition, I'm sure the weapons of mass destruction are in Syria, just like you've always said. Uh-huh. Okay. O'Reilly.
The Talking Points opposes Obamacare. I gave it a fair shot, but it's far too chaotic, so I have to oppose it. Government should step back, rethink, and try again next year. Any politician voting for a 2,000-page mishmash of ill-defined mandates is misguided, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. That's... There actually isn't even one bill yet. They haven't even put the bills
right.
together.
Right.
All right. It's too many words. That's it. I'm out. Okay. Yeah. This is basically, it's become the party of teabaggers and birthers. I don't know if you heard Oily Taint.
Mm-hmm.
She may be charged with suborning perjury.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in her latest birther lawsuit, even that crazy Larry Sinclair that claims that he's done coke and had sex with the president.
Uh-huh.
Even he wouldn't lie about the people killed in Obama's church or whatever, because every Obama murders something. I don't even he wasn't down with that.
The court in the case of Orly Tates versus Humanity will come to order. Ms. Tates, I believe you may have suborned perjury.
You have shoehorned perjury. I am only telling one person, Larry Sinclair, who is very credibility witness. He has...
Ms. Tates, I've heard about enough from you.
Let me finish. He is very credibility witness. He personally saw Kenyon Obama in back of limo giving blowjob to male hooker.
You are done, Miss Tate.
You will be done. Let me finish. I'm only telling Sinclair he testifying that three members of Obama Muslim church were murdered because they know Obama gay space alien from planet Kenya.
Miss Tates, I'm going to have to shoot you now.
Let me finish.
You are finished. What a senseless waste of perfectly good skin.
Oh, dear. That didn't end well.
Uh-oh. This is bad news for Mama. Jennifer from Lackport up the... Well, actually, in his Mama's hometown up the transit.
Mm-hmm.
Has located Mama's high school yearbook.
Up the transit from Buffalo.
Oh, boy. This could not be good news. Good morning, Jennifer.
Steph, I hate to blackmail you. You're one of my favorite people in
the
world.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. I did find it, and I found some sort of a Halloween dress-up picture with you in it.
Oh, I was dressed like a bush with actual leaves
all
over
all right.
me. Yes. Uh-huh.
It's black and white. We were trying to figure out what in the world you were supposed to be. But
I was a hedges or something. I don't know. Something.
Boy, yeah, Jennifer sent them to us, and I'm looking at it right now. Stephanie, you had some teeth.
Yes. Those were my original. You know what? My teeth were gray because my mom, Jennifer, it's that tetracycline.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
So I had gray teeth. I had fangs, actually, and then I had a unibrow.
No. Unibrow.
She has glasses on.
I had glasses. It was covering the unibrow. Trust me on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
I blame my mother for everything. All right, Jennifer, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Thanks for sending those along. Okay. We will, have to post those up on StephanieMiller.com.
We will post them up after the show.
Don't forget tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire. See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.